This Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.
Well, here in Boston at FutureCon, a great event, and I'm delighted to do another Ask the CISO, and I'm here with Teresa Zielinski. She's the Global CISO and Product Security Officer with GE Power. Great to have a conversation with you.
Great to be here, Scott.
Yeah, and I want to mention that this segment is sponsored by Fortinet also. So, Teresa, you studied math and physics in college and earned a BS and went on to earn a master's in statistics. Were you thinking at all about computer science at that time?
Kind of. I did take a few classes in coding, none that I would recommend at this time. But I don't think I knew how important it was going to be in the age of just digital, really making data speak for itself. So it was useful from an analytics platform. And you know, I'd recommend looking at like Go and Python as kind of coding technologies these days, but would encourage anybody in school to try to take a class and understand some computer science.
Yeah, it's a good idea because just having a good rounded background and it helps you certainly relate to a lot of the things, especially in the world of cyber these days.
Right.
Excellent. Now, you started out your career as a statistical analyst for the New York State Department of Health. How did you wind up in IT after that?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I was actually in a year of doctorate, so I wasn't sure what I was going to do, so I kept continuing studies, and I did a year at the New York Health Department. I liked it. It was a great introduction into the world, but I wasn't challenged enough.
Okay.
So I went and interviewed for a consulting position, actually, an analytical position, and ended up being a full-time position. They offered me a direct hire into GE.
That's great.
So a little odd how I got there, but just the background and the fit was a great mix.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you've been at GE for a while. It's not like you just went to GE. You've been there for about 22 years. What positions did you hold maybe along the way that led up to the CISO position that you now hold?
Yeah, again, not so well thought out planned, but great kind of avenue on how I got here. I from the analytics role, studied and learned the IT world by having to develop metrics and share this with the leaders of the company. So you have to understand networks, assets, servers, systems in depth if you're really looking at studying them, putting metrics together, and improving them. And that led in quickly into a black belt role, which was probably one of my favorites. A lot of continuous improvement, a lot of challenges across the different areas on how to work to fix them, and then various other roles in engineering operations, working with PLM environments, quality leader role, looking at infrastructure and user services and ERP, and also a build infrastructure manager. So we deployed large-scale projects to our energy and oil and gas customers, so I ran that. So kind of fun journey along the way and various different roles to learn the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty exciting. Now, was there a certain point or time that you became more interested in security and kind of dedicated yourself on that career path and direction?
Yeah, it happened around 2008. Mm-hmm. We actually had a target against some sensitive data in the company. Okay. So right around where APT, Advanced Persistent Threat, was ramping up in the world, we had a target and formed a team to look at what happened. And I was asked to just go help the team out and really solve it. It was a challenging space because we couldn't answer any of the questions because it was a new world to us. Yeah. So we knew at that point in time we actually had to ramp up our cyber expertise and really our processes and our teams. And from there, a bigger team was formed in our aviation business, and I was asked to lead security architecture and solutions for that team. So that was just a great challenge and kind of diving into the role. And then one of our businesses split out for power, and I was asked to join that and be the CISO, and I actually got to create and build the team from scratch, which was great to align to the business and the needs at the time.
Yeah, it's certainly exciting, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But, and just thinking back in 2008, you didn't have the tools and the technology that we have today or the resources. So you guys really literally had to roll up your sleeves and figure this out, what was going on there with regards to the challenges you were
right.
facing.
Right, and it was very technical back in that time. The CISO role was more technical. And I would absolutely say over the years it's evolved from technical to having to really be business leader to having to talk to the board. So I think, you know, it's one of the most challenging roles because you have to have a mix of everything to really succeed.
Yeah, you got to have good people skills. You got to be technical. You got to have it all.
Yep.
Nice mixed bag of it. Excellent. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about your role as a CISO, if we can. Maybe you can help us just understand to set the landscape. How big is GE Power, maybe in terms of employee size, things like that, locations? How big is the infrastructure?
Yeah, it's quite big. So just to kind of step back and understand the business a little bit, we actually provide power for a third of the world.
Wow.
So that scope is massive in itself. We have different varying business structures within power. So our gas business, we actually have the largest gas turbine in the world. Efficient, won Guinness Book of World Records from efficiency. So we have that. We have the nuclear business. We have our power conversion and steam. So that kind of conglomerate makes up the power business right now. And again, powering one third of the world, we're in over 150 countries. Over 65,000 employees, and over $20 billion in revenue. So infrastructure is quite large. We have, you know, thousands of applications, probably under 2,000 applications to support the business, multiple servers, multiple, about over 100 different manufacturing sites. So quite large and a lot of regulatory and different needs and risk profiles, as you look at like a nuclear business, for example, that differs across the landscape.
Wow. I guess it's safe to say you wear many hats throughout the day as things change, especially when you mention that many different countries that you're in. I never realized that. Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Wow. Now, a colleague of yours, Deneen, a CISO peer, is at GE Aviation, said that, and I quote here, "Any challenge you hand to Teresa, she will take it head on and succeed." And as you know, Deneen introduced us to you. So do the CISOs at GE's businesses, each of which qualifies as large enterprise on its own, collaborate with each other? And if so, how do they do that?
Absolutely. We're kind of our own mini world in itself. Okay. So we have a healthcare business, a renewables business, a capital business, research. So lots of different businesses. So it's just kind of a must that we collaborate. I would say we're one of the most collaborative functions. Mm. If you look at the different functions across GE, not just internal, I think even external. CISOs collaborate a lot, you know, because we have to, and we're just better together. So we do share a lot. Deneen's phenomenal to work with. You know, she gets a lot of great things from Department of Defense, like different signatures we get to use across the company. So we get to benefit from that. And then when we have different solutions, like a digital risk management type of solution, she'll be able to use that. So we collaborate on how to do things, and then we also use different tools from one another. So it's a great partnership.
Yeah, that's good. And I just think about the world of cybercrime. Cybercriminals share everything on the dark web. So if the good guys aren't collaborating and sharing this information, we'll never keep up.
Agreed.
We'll never win that battle. So again, you kind of touched on it a little bit there. Outside of GE, you then collaborate with other CISOs. And why is that so important for you? Maybe looking at it from the perspective, even sharing that information outside of your organization.
Yeah, I mean, we're all fighting the same fight, right? So we're all fighting the bad guys. Even our competitors, you know, there's certain things, obviously, that are sensitive to how we do work. But at the end of the day, we are all fighting the same fight. So I look at, you know, just different profiles of connecting with customers is huge. So in the manufacturing world, supply chain risks are growing. We have regulatory requirements with NERC-SIP that really secures our critical infrastructure that we have to meet. And we want to work closely with our customers on those solutions, because once we give them a turbine, for example, and it's in their shop floor and that ecosystem, they have to make sure if they touch it or if we remote and, you know, touch the turbine, that we're working together. So that supply chain and who touches what last is important to know. So collaboration with customers is key. And then there's tons of conferences out there. Obviously, the one here today, I'm on the board for the New York City Avanta Conference.
Okay.
And also lead through the Executive Women's Forum something in GE across the different GE businesses to collaborate and get women included in cyber.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. And certainly when we go to these big conferences, we do look around and unfortunately it's a sea of men.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will start to change with time and enough knowledge. I guess people realize that more and more women are starting to get involved in it, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I've seen it just over the last few years of attending the conferences. There is more and more. So it's exciting.
Yeah, certainly is. Maybe just to transition a little, let's talk a little bit about IoT. We hear about billions and billions of IoT devices. Everybody's connecting to the internet. CISOs tell us that the proliferation of IoT devices, many of which don't have enough security baked in at the onset, are a big, big challenge. What's your perspective, maybe from GE Power and as a CISO?
Yeah, in this area, I think like anything, it will evolve. I look back at just a lot of the stuff we're evolving into from manufacturing shop floor. A lot of those devices, big turbines, were never meant to be connected. So when I look at the product security side of the job, that's, you know, looking at the basics, how do we patch? You can't just patch a server like you do in 30 days. It's downtime that takes months and outages. So it's availability and uptime that's kind of key on the product side. So it will evolve. So the shop floor and connected devices, you know, to get analytics off a turbine, is they're starting to connect. So as we look at IoT and for manufacturing, it's really IIoT. So industrial Internet of Things is kind of what I look at. So the ICS systems or SCADA systems that connect the machines and devices together, that's a big deal because they're the ones that really manipulate and run the turbines.
Yeah.
So we have to look at how do we protect them and evolve that connectivity and that supply chain piece as well.
Yeah. And I think the good news with at least the IoT, they do think a little bit more about security up front as opposed to just the generic IoT devices on the consumer level.
Yes.
It's all about the cost. It's not about security. So at least we see that contrast and security's thought about a bit more, which is good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on. I think also there's a lot of regulations coming in this space. So we, as through our partnerships and kind of what we just talked to with other CISOs, we look at, hey, how can we get ahead of this? Because we should be doing it anyway. And I think the regulation should just be a base of here's the minimum, what everyone has to meet. But how do we do this? Because the threats are going to continue to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think about something you mentioned earlier, that you guys are doing a lot in the world of nuclear. We saw a lot of our tools in nuclear. Nuclear, they spend good money to keep it secure for obvious reasons.
Very segmented, you know, on purpose for good reason because of the high threat. So you have to look at your risk profile and understand that and then react accordingly.
Very, very well said. Now, given your tenure in the industry, Teresa, you've seen the emergence of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking in the cloud, the cloud, the cloud. As large enterprises are starting to transition some of their infrastructure to the cloud, is that more or less secure feeling for you? How do you feel about it when you hear about this?
I know everyone asks, you know, we tend to get asked that all the time. How are you feeling about going to the cloud? You know, are you going to let this go in? And my take is that I do think we have an ability to make it more secure.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why, but it's all about how you do it. A lot of the companies, the bigger companies, Amazon and Azure and other, you know, companies that have cloud platforms and provide cloud security, spend 35% of their budget on security. So probably as compared to manufacturers, maybe an average of 8%, depending upon, you know, your different businesses. So it's in their best interest to make sure their platforms are secure. And there's a lot of tools that they have, very fast patching. It's faster than you can kind of do on the enterprise. So that stuff is great. And a lot of detection and analytics to understand threats. So I think security is built in. It is a matter, though, of how you approach your journey to move data, move applications to the cloud. So you have to tier your apps and say what kind of tier from a low, medium, high, you know, confidentiality of data can go in, and start with the lower first. And then understand as you as a company, what do you want to augment and see? So you can't just rely on them to tell you if they had an attack. You know, are you going to be detecting as well and augment with different tools to be able to see and understand when a threat happens in the cloud?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Okay. Now, I believe that you and Deneen aren't the only CISOs at GE. Is that the case? It's such a big organization, as we were talking about a little bit earlier. In fact, a research firm Forrester predicts that the number of women CISOs at Fortune 500 companies will rise to 20% in 2019 compared to 13% in 2017. So we see a nice jump there. And this is consistent with new research from Boardroom Insiders, which states that 20% of Fortune 500 global CIOs are now women, the largest percentage ever. And Cybersecurity Ventures predicts that women will hold 20% of all cybersecurity positions globally by the end of 2021. So some pretty amazing numbers when we think about that there. Are you seeing more women from where you sit getting into the field?
Yeah, so I love hearing the stats because it's headed in the right direction. Yeah. Maybe not fast enough. I'd like it to be higher. We all would, but it is headed there. And we are seeing that. So it's evolving because cyber has a lot of different facets too. It's not just the absolute coding, mm-hmm. operations, threat detection. There's compliance, there's risk, there's regulatory. There's a lot of different facets of that. Identity, application security. And we're seeing a lot of people get excited because I think more folks are getting excited, you know, about IT, and they're looking at the opportunities saying, hey, I could do that too. I feel like women have just a natural ability for social etiquette, communications, you know, emotional intelligence. They connect dots a lot and see the big picture, and that just helps the broader team. I have two leaders on my staff that are women. So I think it's just important to step back and introduce folks to this world and what the opportunities are, because it's not so scary. They think it's just somebody kind of coding at a computer in the background, you know, in their basement. And there's a lot to it that we have to add. So very exciting.
Yeah. And to your point, I think you touched on it before, maybe 10 years ago or so, a CISO was more of a technical position.
Right.
And it has gravitated to a more of a, I think, you have to have hands-on and you got to be a people person because mm-hmm. you're communicating with so many different people. And I think it's typically well-known women are better communicators often than most men out there. So maybe that's why we're also starting to see this trend with a rise. It's a wonderful thing, I think.
Yeah.
We need help. The men need help for
agreed.
Sure.
Yep.
Excellent. Now, what can be done to generate more awareness, maybe even around cybersecurity, even at a younger age, say for girls maybe that are in school, they're looking to find where their future is, which direction do I want to go and study down the road? What are some things maybe from your perspective that can be done to promote this at an earlier age?
Yeah, I think about this constantly. Obviously, I think the introduction into STEM that we're doing more and more is great. I think that's helping all of us. So they're getting introduced into technology. I was always very technical and analytical background, so it was easy for me, a natural fit, but a lot of people are not, and I think they're scared of it. So I think that first introduction of just here's what it is and here's some opportunities to show folks, I see girls get really excited. So we do that a lot through different facets. And then I think stepping out of that, you have to almost touch every step along the way. What do I look at for colleges? We do a lot of recruitment, you know, in terms of different colleges around the area. For example, SUNY Albany, I'm on the board. We're helping them look at curriculum. So they're developing, and they already have that for a bachelor's, and they're going to be developing a master's in cybersecurity.
Nice.
So, you know, working with them, doing roundtables with girls, we've gone to Penn State. There's a lot of women that are interested, but I think a little nervous to take the step. So actually going there and talking to them one-on-one has made a difference. We've literally had people apply to jobs just from a roundtable that we've done at a school in the past. But then the last step is retaining them. So once they kind of come in, how do they grow? You know, what's their career path? And how do they feel like this is a fit for them and they get retained? We actually, I think we talked about it. I chair the Executive Women's Forum across GE. It's one of the largest forums out there, over 500 people that attend a global conference every year of all women. It's amazing and it's growing. So that in itself speaks to the interest, number one, and in the fact that everyone's coming together to attend these conferences, it's just a real need.
Yeah, that's great. And not too long ago, I gave a keynote actually at SUNY University that they hired me to come in and talk about cybersecurity. And the one thing that stood out to me, half of the attendees were women, which was very different than other colleges. Typically, I'm seeing about 20% women, 80% men as attendees. So that was kind of a standout there for maybe some of the stuff that you're involved in and others to promote it a little bit more, which is great to say.
Yeah, and you have to look at the profile of your company too. Yeah. So, you know, I'm very honored that we just in the last year have 4 women out of 12 in our for our board of directors.
That's great.
So I think that says a lot as well. Yeah. There's the cyber piece, and then there's just the entire profile of the company and diverse talent. Yeah. That you naturally want to grow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Excellent. Now being in upstate New York, a little bit outside of the main hub of the city and things of that sort there, is it any easier? Is it harder to recruit cybersecurity talent than contrast that to New York City or Boston where we are now? Or?
Yeah, well, the great thing with that is that my team is global.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do have some people that are in upstate New York, but we have folks in like Atlanta and international. So we have, you know, metropolitan and we have the outskirts. It really mimics the profile of our power business and where a lot of the big hubs are there. So we get to really look at people globally and then make the best fit for what hub they should sit at based on the business and their work scope. So that makes it a little easier because unless you've been to upstate, which I love, it's probably not somebody's first choice.
Yeah.
So the global nature and just our remote capabilities today make it easy.
Yeah. The world has changed a lot
exactly.
more with remote office and different things you can do. That's for sure.
Right.
Excellent. Now, what advice do you have for maybe IT and cybersecurity professionals thinking about a future career as a CISO? They may look at you as a role model, perhaps. If they have goals that they could set there, what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, understanding the business to me is key.
Okay.
So I think when I jumped into cyber, I had to, learn that, you know, took me a little longer to learn that because you want to come in and quickly close a vulnerability, quickly understand how to do software development more securely. You want to come in and really focus on cyber because that's the exciting piece and that's what your job is about. But I think understanding the business is key because then you can tie it and connect it and see the big picture and also prioritization. Cyber is one of the hardest jobs. A lot of people set their plans for the year and say, this is what I'm going to do, 1, 2, 3. But for cyber, you have to do that, but we're not easily forgiven when a bad thing happens.
Yeah.
So I think being connected to your leadership on what you're focused on, where you're spending your time and money is key. Because at the end, we're not, you know, unicorns. We can't prevent everything. But we actually can react and respond in the appropriate way. So you have to know where, you know, your strategy is for your business. So are you aligned? And then how do you prioritize your work? Because obviously there's a lot of challenges day to day in cyber.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Teresa, if you had to give one single piece of advice, maybe it's a new CISO.
Yeah.
Any standouts that you'd share with us?
There's many because we learn as professionals along the way over the years, but enabling the business. And that sounds weird because we are securing the business. But there's a lot of things we do. Everyone takes risks every single day. We work in risky countries. We have different joint ventures or things that, you know, the profile might be set up and high risk to low risk. So I think we have to understand what is it the business wants to do and then how do you enable it? So is the risk more than the deal? Is that when we say no? You know, so once you partner with your leaders and you're aligned and you're sitting with them, and you mostly work to enable the business. And a lot of the times it's not no, but it's how. How can we help them get there? Maybe you have to add in more money and people because it's more risky and you actually have to add in, you know, two-factor and other controls that you normally wouldn't do on general type of data. So I think that's key is just understanding that risk profile. How do you enable? And then when you do have to say no, they're going to trust you because most of the time you're helping them, you know, get work done. So, you know, are you talking to your executives and are you talking to your peers? Do they know you? And how do you help enable them day to day? Because that's kind of what we're all here to do is help the business.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much there, Teresa, for joining us for another segment of Ask the CISO interview.
Great. It was a pleasure.
The Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures, your trusted source for cybersecurity facts, figures, and statistics. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.